League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
What is this idiot doing?
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Please stop talking.
ESPN, 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hi, here we go. One in the books, two to go. 2 hours left of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Nick, Aaron, and Joel, if you missed the reasons why we flipped with the Blitz today, go back, go to ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab at the top of the page for Usual Suspects. Check out hour number one. You'll figure it out because both us and Blitz talked about it ad nauseum.
I've never seen a text. Why is Stassi playing? He sucks as well. What do you think?
I can tell you exactly why he's playing. Because they're worried about Chirinos and the amount of innings and games in a row. They don't want him to play three games in a row. So, essentially, someone's got to play the role of backup catcher, and whoever that is going to play every third game so that they get some rest for a guy that has really overperformed for them, but they don't want to be completely drained by the time they get to the postseason.
There you go. To answer your text, 936.
Someone also said it's 5 o'clock. What's your favorite beer? Looking for suggestions. I throw that to Aaron of the three of us because I know you're a whiskey guy, Nick.
Yeah.
And you know I just drink everything. So I think I'll throw that to Aaron. Aaron, suggestions, please.
I drink a lot of beer. If you're asking for my favorite brewery, if you're in town, I go to Carbach all the time. I really like, there is Saloon Door down by me. There's Texas Beer Refinery, Galveston Island. If you're looking for just in general, I love Shiner and almost every single thing they've ever done. I mean, all my animals are named after beer. I love going to St. Arnold. That environment, the food, the beer, everything they do.
I've been there.
Theirs
that's fun.
A lot of fun. I mean, honestly, you can't, there aren't bad breweries in this city. So if you're looking for a brewery to go sit at, you know, if you're in the loop, there's Platypus, there's Sigma, there's Town and City.
You said puss.
I did.
Okay.
That was about 87 suggestions, so yeah. I think he's covered it,
he
man.
He covered it for you there, people.
For sure.
Tweet at me and let me know what kind of beer you like, and I'll find something that you're going to really love.
There you go. Resident
at
beer
Aaron
expert
is
right there. At Blitz. Aaron is Blitz.
Don't give me that title. Then Fred and Age will be really mad and then fire me.
Why?
Because they know beer better than I do.
Oh, well, I look, all I know is what I know being on this
show
during
fridge?
This time
do you
slot.
Do you have a beer fridge?
Yes,
saying.
I do.
Then you have every right to do that.
He's got an industrial-sized beer fridge.
Oh, well, okay, Aaron, I threw it to you. So next time I'll throw it to Fred and AJ, and whatever they respond, we'll go with the rest of the show. How about that? Well, there we go. It's all taken care of. So we also said, where's my boy Barry? Well, if you missed that, Barry's on his way to Tulsa, Oklahoma to do a little comedy. All things being considered, he's going to try and do the show from a dungeon with a lot of BD and S&M possibilities in Tulsa for the next 2 days.
Yeah, I think the attempt is he's got a fancy piece of electronic device that he's taken with him, and hopefully he can connect and do the show with Joel. I think we have some breaking news here.
Uh-oh. What do you got?
Let me just make sure I'm not getting punked here.
Yeah? Is it a blue check mark? Is it for more than
Chandler
one source?
Rome.
Oh, he's pretty reliable.
Ramirez suspended 3 games by the MLB for hitting Jake Mariznick.
Okay. Well, so there you go. There's the retaliation from MLB.
Brad Ausmus gets one. Ausmus is serving his tonight. Unknown yet if Ramirez will appeal his 3-game suspension. Both he and Angels manager Brad Ausmus were given fines. So that comes to you via Chandler Rome.
Okay, and I would believe that. But again, the only thing different would be if it was a starting pitcher. It's like giving a starting pitcher 5 days. So what? Because, you know, they're only going to play once in that time frame anyway. But a relief pitcher, you get 3 games. Okay. I can see that. But I think that's the MLB basically saying, okay, we're done with this, to our discussion earlier. If the Astros would retaliate now, be prepared to lose Garrett Cole for a couple of games, and you don't want to do that based on the state of what your pitching staff looks like right now. So I rescind what I said. As much as I'd like to see Albert Pujols take one in the back pocket, let's just be done with this for now, because we have bigger fish to fry, and we've got to worry about the state of the Astros.
Let's be honest. The reason why Astros fans really want to get Pujols is because he sucks, but he doesn't suck against the Astros. Because
he almost broke a window when the roof was closed by taking Brad Lidge to another stratosphere.
Yeah.
It got out so quick it should have had a stewardess on it a few times. But yeah.
Okay. But, yeah. But there you go. Some news there via Chandler Rome.
Well done. Someone else said, with all the options at the airport nowadays, not that much more expensive than a regular place. I disagree, but okay.
I mean, the food definitely is. I mean, beer, I feel like, yeah. I mean, if how much are they possibly charging for a Bud Light? I would imagine it's $8 or $9, which would be kind of high for a Bud Light. But I don't know. I can't remember. I just have a couple beers and fajitas. Like I don't really get drunk at the airport, so I don't have a bunch of beer.
Yeah, but you do other places.
That's true.
Now, I got this text for you boys, and I just need your evaluation on this as well. Saloon Door has a citrus wheat and vanilla ale blend. It tastes like a creamsicle beer. It's the best. Do you commend someone for a suggestion like that, or do you question?
No, I think beer enthusiasts are all about that kind of stuff.
Aren't beer, like, obviously, I'm from the beer capital of the world, and my sister and her husband drink on the regular. And I think that their thing is they don't mind a flavored beer, ale, whatever, you know, Bock, whatever the case may be. But they still want it to taste mostly like beer. I don't think they go for all the kind of sugary, fluffy kind of flavors like that. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I'm asking your opinion as a beer connoisseur.
That one still tastes like beer, but okay. It does have an orange creamsicle like aftertaste to it, because my wife really likes that one. Because she likes wheat beers and she likes orange creamsicle.
His wife really likes that one.
I mean, but she's a beer person like I am.
So she'll drink a regular beer, too.
Oh, yeah. Right. We drink regular beer all the time.
I mean, it's really more about just trying something new, getting a different flavor. So I can see a lot of people do that. I can see that. I mean, there's so many variations of one type of beer. So I can see why people would want to try that, the same beer, but in a different flavor. You know, I respect that. I think beer enthusiasts would be all over it.
But Saloon Door is known for stuff like that, where they'll take conventional flavors that you would find in your everyday life and put it into beer. Like they have a peanut butter and chocolate beer.
Right.
That tastes like a Reese's cup.
Well, what he's trying to do, he's trying to go at him like, you know, he's being too foo-foo, like his Starbucks
drinks
that he orders.
No, I'm asking a question because I'm not a beer connoisseur.
It takes 10 minutes to order a cup of coffee at Starbucks. What is it again?
A venti iced Americano with 4 equals and soy milk. Is that hard?
Yeah. If it takes you that long.
Whoa. What's your drink during the holidays, big boy?
The caramel macchiato. No, not the macchiato. The peppermint mocha.
You're a liar.
Absolutely.
What's your?
Oh no! It's the
eggnog.
No, it's worse than that. It's some kind of nut.
Oh man, it's killing me. I can't believe I forgot
it's
it.
Not the caramel brulee thing with the swizzle.
It comes with heels and a skirt, and he's getting on me for what I order. What the hell is that thing that you concocted? Some kind of a nut creation. Blah 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 blah. And you're worried about freaking straight caffeine and water
not,
in what I
not
order.
Not toffee. Not Nut Crunch. It's not the Nut Crunch.
Yeah, you're a big fan of the Nut Crunch. Okay.
Chestnut praline latte.
There.
That's what it is.
A chestnut praline latte, and I'm foo-foo.
You wouldn't order that, Aaron. You absolutely.
I order
would.
Weird coffees all the time, but I also drink black coffee with 2 equal at home.
So. See,
no, I like black coffee too, but during the Christmas time.
Do you have any idea what Americano is? It's water, shots, and then the equal and some soy milk instead of cream.
Okay, how about I say my order the same time you say your order, and let's see who's done.
And are we doing it by length or female?
Chestnut praline latte.
So
done.
You said foo-foo fast is what you did. You said I wear a skirt as quick as you could.
No, I did not say that at
Aaron,
all.
Aaron, if you ran that back right now, Nick basically said I wear a skirt.
The brulee latte, the caramel brulee latte, I like that. The gingerbread latte, I'll have that.
You like
the eggnog, I won't have. Do you like that?
I like lipstick on a Friday?
Okay. This is not going to stop for... What time is it? It's 5:12.
Can we be honest,
I got an
though,
hour
Aaron?
And 45
Wait,
minutes
okay, Aaron,
left.
You're an innocent bystander. Which one is more foo-foo? That, whatever, all those that he just named that comes...
No, we're just comparing the drink that my favorite drink to his favorite drink, right?
Say it again. What's your favorite drink? Say it one more time for the listeners.
Chestnut praline latte.
Okay, chestnut praline latte.
I didn't say it like that.
Or venti iced Americano with 4 equals and soy milk.
I didn't know what an Americano was from the get-go, so honestly, I would put them on the same level.
Ooh.
But now just being 100%
real.
But
now you know what an Americano is?
I am, sir.
It's just water
and
espresso?
Yeah.
I don't know. So
do you use whipped cream?
Okay, fine.
One way, you're watering down the espresso because you can't handle the flavor. The other way, you're adding sweet
flavor. No, I go low water. I'm going soy milk instead of water, too.
Okay. So, see, I thought you were putting soy milk, water,
ice. No, I'm just doing the shot, soy milk, and some equal.
The fact that it's that picky, though, makes
it a
foo-foo
drink. Do you get excited? Does your blood pressure go up when she goes, "You want whipped cream on that, sir?"
No, she doesn't. You don't have to say that. You just
crushed
order.
Nuts?
You just order the coffee.
You want some crushed nuts on your whipped cream?
They don't talk like that, sir.
Or if you order it on the app, they don't question it.
Exactly. That's what Granado does, so he can duck and run. Seriously, you put whipped cream on it?
I think it comes with it.
Oh, and again, this is even a difficult decision for you, Aaron. Stop it.
I mean, it comes with it. It's a Christmas drink.
We got to go to break. Nick's got to dance around the studio. He's got calories to burn
finish
in the break.
Food.
Yes. What is it, with whipped cream?
Okay, whatever.
Back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's on his way to Tulsa. Nick and I and Aaron are holding down the fort. We switched with the Blitz so AJ could catch a flight. So we did a solid. So Blitz Steven. Suck it, okay? Get over it for a day, and you're not as tough as your text may be. It's the way we do business for one day, so get over yourself. It's going to be just fine.
Hey, Zach just called me a bitch on Twitter, so he agrees with you.
There you go. Well, Zach's a smart guy.
How much does your drink cost?
Like $3.73.
Yeah, he said it was about $3.50. Mine's is $10, so I'm the bitch.
Correct.
But it's not $10 because I get the tall.
And you're not even at the airport to overpay like
I get
that.
A tall, so it's like $6 or $7, Zach. You don't know nothing.
A tall. So you get less liquid for more price. I rest
calling
my case.
Me a bitch. And then
someone had
one.
A great idea, by the way, before you get to that.
What?
Text message. Fantastic idea. Can we have Tyler White pitch, hit Pujols, get suspended for the rest of the year, and can we make that happen? I'm with you 150%. Let's do it tonight. Let's just get it over with.
I bet you Tyler White likes whipped cream.
Oh, no, I bet you're right.
Tyler White's got such accuracy. Or inaccuracies right now, he'd probably actually nail the umpire and then get himself suspended without plunking Pujols. Actually, you know, he's going to be so inaccurate, he's going to hit Hinch right in the face.
Well, he's inaccurate with a bat in his hand, but he has actually shown to be at least serviceable in mop-up time, pitching. But yeah, unless you want to send him down to extended camp for minor leagues and get him to work on his changeup and his slider, I'm fine with that too, because at the end result's the same. He goes away.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you keep screaming the way you are, maybe A.J. Hinch will... you're sounding like Patrick Creighton right now. You're so loud on this. I mean, you're just... I think A.J. Hinch heard you. I think he's going to make the move tomorrow because of you.
I bet if he's not in the lineup
you're
tonight,
the reason.
It worked. Either that or the sports map video that's coming in the next hour or two is going to back me up 150%. I just got a feeling. Check sports map tonight. I got a feeling there's going to be a video that might back up my thought. Just a hunch, not a hinge. A hunch. Got it?
It really sucks that there's only girls that like that chestnut praline.
Really?
Latte.
Because I saw this text too. As someone who worked for Starbucks for 12 years,
yeah.
Joel's drink isn't foo-foo. Any seasonal drink like the chestnut praline is for basic white girls in Uggs. I rest my case. We're
all right.
Done.
You can kiss my ass. I'm in a good mood. I'm going to Las Vegas. So I am not going to respond to you, sir. It must be the 409. Is it the 409?
Oh, see, now you're going to hate the 409.
I love
you're
the 409.
You're opening up cans that you don't need right
no,
now.
No, we're cool. Me and the 409 are cool.
All right, so from a Rockets perspective, the trade is final. The worst kept secret in America. Something's got to be done about these stupid rules with the NBA, and Adam Silver has said he's going to do it. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, it's just like draft night when I say I just get annoyed by what hats the players have to wear. Just stop. Look, the fact of the matter is, when you see a guy like Kevin Durant make up his mind, within the first 5 minutes of free agency. You're telling me that there weren't conversations that were had before that deadline? Stop it already. So the final deal is, and this is what disappoints me as from a Rockets perspective, whether you like the trade or not. Everybody said the delay was due to the fact that Daryl was trying to orchestrate more players involved, maybe even making it a three-way, whether it involved Iguodala or getting another piece that could help them from a bench perspective and a rotational perspective. That did not happen. So from that perspective, to have that long of a delay and get nothing more out of it, I feel like I can't say it's a loss because you still unloaded Chris Paul in his contract and you got younger. And a lot of people would say better. I say the jury's still out. But you got a resume-wise, you got a better player at this particular time.
Yeah, and they've definitely upgraded at the position. So that's.
But see, that's where I question that. If Chris Paul was a 36% free throw, three-point shooter, and sometimes periodically in his career over 40% three-point shooter,
he's not shooting enough.
29% from three.
But he needs to shoot. He needs to have more shot attempts. If you're gonna
Well, then get the ball out of Harden's hands.
Look, if he averaged, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 more shot attempts, maybe 5 more shot attempts from behind 3-point land, and he had the same shooting percentage, then I'd agree with you there. Let me ask you this because I asked this to Jose Partida. What would you have? Because I looked it up and it was, I believe, 29% for the season for Russell Westbrook.
Correct.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was 33 or 34 for Chris Paul.
Chris Paul shot 36% last year.
Okay, 36%. Mm-hmm. If I told you, would you take, not knowing who the players are, just looking at the statistic, if I were to ask you, 34% free throw shooter or 3-point shooter that shoots significantly less 3-pointers, or a 29% 3-point shooter who shoots significantly more, who would you take?
Well, you're not going to take the guy that shoots 29% and shoots more threes if that's the scenario you just painted.
Why not?
Would you take a guy that shoots more shots and shoots them at a lower percentage than a guy that shoots them at a higher percentage but doesn't take as many?
Because when you look at how many shot attempts that Chris Paul has always had, it's never amounted to a lot of points.
But Nick, it's a point guard. He's facilitating. So as long as if he's not shooting that much, that means other people are, like James Harden, like the guys that shoot a higher percentage and make them on a regular basis. So from that perspective, especially in this offense, if it's that position and that position is also charged with distributing the basketball, I'm good with all that.
So okay, let's talk about what Chris Paul can do that Westbrook can't. What can he do? He can probably facilitate slightly better. Can you even make that argument considering all the triple doubles?
See, that's the thing. You got
that Russell has.
You'd have to dig deeper to tell me the quality of the assists too, because a lot of times we've seen Russell Westbrook pick up 2, 3, 4 assists late in games, garbage time, just because he's trying to keep that average up. As opposed to Chris Paul, who seemingly always makes the right decision with the ball, gets it to the right people. And look, for all you want to bang on him now because he's gone, not saying you, but the Rockets right. fan base, the fact of the matter is he came up big in a lot of situations over the last two regular seasons. And until that hamstring went in the 65-win season, I mean, you look at one game in particular where he carried the entire team to a victory against the Warriors, and you realized that dude was seriously still in his prime. It's just that fall off that he had kind of happened at the wrong time and with the wrong result that everybody soured on him real quickly. I'm not saying he's where he used to be, but I don't think he's as bad as people make him out to be going forward. He still has a couple years, I think, that could at least a year or two in him where he will be decent above average.
Okay, well, is there a big discrepancy between the way Russell facilitates and Chris Paul does? Do you think he's significantly better than Westbrook in terms of facilitating and getting teammates involved?
I do, because you know what? When Chris Paul's on the fast break, if he's running a 3-on-2, 2-on-1, he's going to get the ball to the guy that's open. If you look at the one stat that no one's bringing up is, no one shot worse shots and shot a lesser percentage off the break from mid-range jump shot range than Russell Westbrook. That's Chris Paul's specialty. He's a mid-range jump shooter. So that tells me that Russell only goes one speed. He has a hard time slowing down and making the right decision when he's going 100 miles an hour. Now, I will say this. With the ball in his hands, I don't want anybody other than Russell Westbrook putting his head down going to the basket because he's just unbelievably athletic.
Yeah, he's really difficult to stop. And another thing that he does, Joel, is you want this you just want a random basket, and the opposing team just scored. I can't tell you how many times Russell has just taken the ball, they inbound the ball, and he will just run up the court by himself and find his way all the way to the basket for a layup. And he just makes it look so easy. Mm-hmm. He just has this fluidity to him. Jimmy Butler kind of has it to a certain extent. But Russell is just unbelievable with the way he could just literally, when you're desperate and you need a basket, he can do that for you. And perhaps that's the reason why you'll allow the, you know, less shoot 3-point shooting percentage than, you know, someone like a Steph Curry who shoots 40%.
I asked Barry this, 43%. And I'll ask you this. But the bottom line to me is, at the end of a game, who's taking the shot?
I don't know if that's that much of an issue, though. I don't know if that's much
Nick,
of a concern.
Especially in crunch time, there's going to be crunch time in the playoffs. There's going to be crunch time in the regular season. And if you can't answer that for me just generically, then my next question would be, in the playoffs, at the end of a game, during crunch time, who's taking that shot? Because now you're looking at two guys who haven't exactly been stellar come the postseason. That's a big issue for the Rockets.
I would imagine how each does come clutch time during the regular season and then the first round of the playoffs, who's kind of the clutch guy then, and then I think it's easier to dictate at that point.
How long have you been on Clutch Fans? Because that's a Clutch Fans answer right there to me.
I'm just saying if you... Okay.
You and Ben DuBose go out to dinner last night?
Absolutely not. There's no way. And look, I don't know him personally, so I'm not going to knock him, but there's no way I'm as homer as he is. I'm sorry. I'm just not.
He's
I'm not
on
even
Astros
close.
Right now. He's on Astros right now.
Well, I mean, good. I don't know the guy, whatever. That's fine. There's no way I will tweet or talk like Ben DuBose because that's just ridiculous. The credit that he gives that team...
You and Alekhine Bejani are talking about...
I'm not. I mean,
Ali's a great dude. I just think he needs to stop being so much of a homer.
Look, what Ollie does is a lot of video stuff, so I'll let him do it.
He knows the game.
Yeah, so I appreciate that part, so I'm okay with it. I'm just saying, like,
All right, let me throw this out for you. Are you good if they don't make another move? Are you good with this roster and this rotation going into the regular season?
No, they got to make another move. That's obvious. There's no doubt. Whether it's a role player, and you know what? Some of it might have to be trial and error in the first 10 or 15 games of the season, honestly, Joel. You don't know.
Mike D'Antoni might not have a job if it takes that long, simply because without an extension, I said, if things go awry early, he'll be gone by the All-Star break, and then you really got to, you know, you got to search long and hard for what you're going to do going forward for the rest of the season, let alone after that, to get the right guy for that team.
Yeah. That part's going to be interesting. You've been saying that all year. You've been saying that ever since the Rockets got bounced, ever since the fight.
I said he was on the hot seat. People gave me heat for it.
Yeah, I didn't think so either, honestly. But when Fertitta did not give him the contract extension, that kind of...
tells you what the owner wants.
He wants a winning team. Yeah. I mean, he gave you the opportunity the first year or two to let the front office and the staff... do what they do, and the coaching staff do what they do. Now it's obvious from the way he talks. He's vocal.
Oh, yeah, he wants
to win. He wants to be hands-on, so.
No doubt. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's hour number 2, 3-hour show. It's the usual suspects filling in for the Blitz right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
90 in the books, 90 still to go. We're with you till 7 on The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. We flip spots with the Blitz today so that AJ could catch his flight. Nick is going to be leaving with Fred at 10 p.m. tonight. And,
yes, sir.
Barry's on his way to Tulsa to do some comedy, but he's hopeful to join us via remote.
We tested
tomorrow.
It during that break, and it sounds good.
Oh, looks like Laminack's going to do the show.
Look at Tommy Technology in Tulsa checking out. Now, where did he test it from? Here or there?
No, from there.
Oh, he's in Tulsa already?
Yeah. I mean, you can't check it unless you're there. Yeah.
Not true. You could test that he knows how to use the equipment and everything.
I showed him that yesterday.
Palatial Laminack Manor.
He could. You could do that.
Why would he want to do extra work? He's got the day off.
I have a question for you.
Okay, wait. Before we get to that, because we were talking about Chris Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Another Woj bomb. OKC has been working with Chris Paul and his representatives on finding a trade. Everybody thought he'd be traded quickly, and he would never play a game in a Thunder uniform, but that's not true. Nothing materializing because it's getting deep into free agency. So both sides believed that the benefits are there for Paul to play the year out with the Thunder. I don't get that. The whole year, no way. Up till the trade deadline, maybe. If there's a team tinkering on the edge of playoffs, or Miami really figures that they need to make a move because they're not what they thought they'd be, I just think he's got to go. That's a bad fit. He's going to be miserable with all those young kids. And we already know that he gets bitchy.
But if they're saying that, do you think they've already had that discussion and he's kind of cool with it? There's a plan in place?
Well, but they're saying both sides, meaning OKC, Presti, I would assume, and Chris and his agent have spoken about it, and they're okay with it. I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah. I mean, I said I thought he'd eventually get about, because the thing is, you have to understand how much of an alpha Chris Paul is. He's not a bad guy at all. And I'm not trying to paint a negative picture, but he's a huge alpha.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean alphas can't work with other alphas, but he likes to be the guy that says, hey, you stand there. All right, now cross over here. And let me tell you something. Stars don't like that. Players get annoyed by that.
Watch James Harden. Capella, he does not be told what to do.
Capella was getting annoyed by that. You could visually see that. Like, all right, you move here. The thing is, it's so robotic, and there's no fluidity. Like, if you look at the Warriors, and I hate to use them as the example, all those players moving without the ball, it was kind of a known deal. They kind of knew where to run. Mm-hmm. They kind of wanted to run without the ball. That's not the case. You got 3-4 other Rockets jerseys just standing in a particular place, maybe one in the paint, two on the outside. And next thing you know, you got Chris Paul pointing, hey, stand here, move here, guard this guy, set the pick here. I just don't know if that personality works anymore. And I'm not necessarily saying he'll never be successful or he'll never win a championship. I'm not that guy. I'm just saying it's going to be difficult to find a good fit for Chris Paul. All you're going to get out of him is a bunch of assists and a guy that can facilitate and a good three-point shooting percentage.
I don't understand. People have soured on him so quickly.
I have.
He did a lot of good things when
he was
here.
But here's the thing.
You know, the ass clowns on the text line that are saying, well, you know, now you know you don't think Westbrook's going to work here, but you're giving him credit for what he did in OKC. And Paul George had a great year. He was up for MVP. Well, guess what? What did they win in the playoffs? If they had all this continuity, what did they win? Did he win MVP? No. But even that doesn't matter. What did they win as a team? Because the bottom line, you can say the same thing about the Rockets. The fact that James Harden was in the MVP discussion, had a great year. Yippee-ki-yay. The year before, they won 65 games, and that was the best in franchise history. And you know what all 3 years have in common? They got bupkis when it came to the playoffs. So the bottom line is, you are so defensible if you play that offensive system. And I'm not trying to crap on Westbrook, because if you listen to our show on the regular, you realize I said the Rockets' playoff window was closed. I mean, championship window was closed with Paul. With Westbrook, it's open. It's just that I'm going to be TBD on if they have a chance to win a chip or not until I see who's handling the ball. Can they peacefully coexist? Are they willing to do less to achieve more as a team? And how are the guys around them going to react and play? Because you just said it. When Harden ran what he ran during the regular season, you had four guys standing around picking their forehead. And when the ball got to him, it was with 5 seconds or less on a clock where they had to take a rush shot. They didn't get looks. They weren't involved, like you said, from a Golden State perspective in cutting and moving and touching the ball. And they got ticked about it. So now you got two guys with the same mentality that run the same kind of system. And I just need to see how they're going to work it out.
All right. Question from the text line. Is Westbrook a top 10 to 15 NBA player right now? Is Chris Paul? I'm going to say Chris Paul, no.
I'd agree.
Westbrook? He's not top 10. Not based on last year.
Did you see his numbers? The third year in a row, he averaged a triple-double.
Okay, well, let me throw you 8 or 9 names that you can make the argument for.
Let's go. Throw them out. We'll say, I'll say
and then
better
we'll move
or worse.
On from it.
Yep.
Let's start at number one. 3 or 4 of them I disagree with up front.
Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Giannis is one.
No. I don't think he's better than Giannis. Do you, Aaron?
Based on last year only.
Last year only, he won MVP. So, no. Westbrook's not better than Giannis.
Oh, I thought you were saying Giannis
is not. No.
Yeah, that's why I looked at you, because you said, no, he's not better than
Giannis. Yeah, that's what I thought you were saying.
Right,
okay.
I'll just say if Westbrook's better than him or not. Giannis, no.
Joel Embiid.
Maybe.
From last
season? Joel Embiid doesn't play half the time, and when he does, even Barkley said he's fat. So I would say Westbrook is better than Embiid right now.
Kyrie?
Yes, better.
Wow. See, this list has all three of those.
Oh, I bang on Westbrook's shooting percentage. Let's
Bradley
look at Kyrie's. Bradley Beal better.
Jimmy Butler.
Better.
Based on last year only.
I don't care. I think Westbrook's better.
Tatum. Kemba Walker. How about Kemba Walker?
Better than both. I'll take him over both
Ben Simmons.
Of them. Better.
Okay.
He's not afraid to take a 3.
And then Blake Griffin and then Tobias Harris.
Better and better.
So
I think he's top 10. I think Westbrook's top 10. That's why, look, I commended the Rockets for making this deal because you had nothing but promises that were not kept by Daryl Morey on bringing big names. And you brought a big name and you opened the window back up. So whether it works or not, kudos to you for pulling the trigger, getting rid of a contract that everyone hated, and giving yourself a chance.
Yeah. I mean, look, it'll be interesting to see what they can fit around those two players. And obviously, Daryl Morey has some work to do. According to them, he's not done working. And from what you said and your history with working with him, that he's the type of guy that doesn't
Well, he's not
stop,
done. There's no way. It's just the same reason why you saw Woj say that this late in free agency, there's not a lot left to do. Now he's going to have to pull the trigger on probably another trade. Robert Covington's a name that's out there. You could pick up Sean Livingston on waivers. I said that the reason why you go get Iggy is because in the locker room, this is a guy that can teach those two guys how they did it in Golden State so that the guys did less, sacrificed more, won more games, won titles, and that could be invaluable to this team. Livingston, on a lesser degree, could probably do the same thing. The bigger problem is I think Iggy's the best fit for this team, and if you get Iggy, you are over the top and exactly where you need to be. But the problem is they're hoping now for a buyout because they don't want to be over the luxury cap by trading for him. And in a buyout market, I'll ask you guys this. Where would you rather go, and what's a better situation? The Rockets, the Clippers, or the Lakers? Because those are the other two teams that want him.
That want
Iggy. So if he gets bought out, and he can go to any of those three places, why does he go to Houston over the other two?
I tend to agree with you there.
Owner's volatile because he wants to win, and he puts pressure. He's putting pressure down. Your two best players were fighting. Now you got two best players. So Paul's out, but Westbrook and Harden, again, we're TBD on how they're going to be able to play together. And your coach could be gone at any time because he doesn't have an extension, as opposed to Steve Ballmer with the Clippers is willing to do whatever it takes to win. Your two best players.
Another new, fairly new owner, too.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Two best players are excited to play with one another, and they're going into a team that was a playoff seed without a real true superstar. Now you got two. And your coach is Doc Rivers. So why wouldn't you pick the Clippers over the Rockets? A year ago, the Rockets was the destination, and they didn't have any competition. This year, you got competition. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, it's a different landscape in the Western Conference, no question. I mean, it's going to be competitive. But at least when you consider the two-star nature of the Western Conference, they didn't do that bad getting someone like Russell Westbrook. So it's not a terrible move. So do you want to take a quick break, or do you want to do this story now?
It's up to you. Aaron, where are we at?
We got to go to break. Yeah, I think we got to go to break.
Let's take a break, and we'll come back and get to the story and keep rolling on. We're almost done with hour number two. We've got a three-hour show. We'll take you all the way till 7 o'clock. So whether you're stuck in traffic or you're doing other things, we appreciate you taking us along for the ride. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, having some fun on The Usual Suspects late night edition as we fill in for the Blitz, who filled in for us as we did a little flip-flop today.
Yes, we did.
We didn't do a full swap meet.
No.
Like, that had been on in the past.
Yes, sir.
Where, like, stations have gone start to finish and taken all the slots and jumbled them up and then put them in different places. Like, ideally, if you had a chance to put the suspects anywhere, where would you want to be?
I like it exactly where it's at right now. I mean, I'm not just trying to say that. Obviously, you know, it's great to be in drive time in terms of radio. But I mean, I'm completely happy with where it's at. I love the fact that 97.5, and I was actually talking to Aaron about this earlier, or he was talking about it with me. You know, it used to be only two local shows on ESPN 97.5, yeah. And the fact that we have how many now? You got
7 to 7
one,
or
two,
whatever.
Three,
yeah,
four,
7 to 7.
At least 5, 6. You know, Creighton is six shows.
Yeah,
like pretty
Glenn
consistent.
Glenn Davis too.
Right. Well, I'm talking Monday through Friday.
Okay, so Monday to Friday, 7 to 7. It's
six
all
shows.
Live and local.
Right. Right. Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think that, I think there's so many, there's so much room for.
So you'd keep it right where it is.
Absolutely.
Aaron, if you were to jumble it up, what would you do?
I actually really like where I'm at because over at 7:40, I did the 4 a.m. shift. So waking up before, you know, the drunks are home from
the
bar.
I've done that before.
Now, if I answered for Barry, I would say that we would take the morning show. Because then Nick would miss at least half of the shows.
Yeah.
Be late for the other
Barry,
half.
But Barry would miss half the shows, too.
That's probably a good point in itself.
You're like the only one up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I got a kid that gets up and has to
Barry
get ready
for school. Barry wants all this credit for getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to say goodbye to his wife.
And then he's in bed by
6:15. And then he goes back to sleep. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll be in the minority. But look, I'm with you. I think that we've had a ton of fun and we're rolling with where we're at. But I would love to see what we could do. In a draft time slot.
All right, so I saw this story. You know, I always think the way people attempt to smuggle drugs is very interesting because I'm just intrigued by it. I just think it's crazy.
Because you're looking for new ideas?
Nope, that's not. I knew that's what you were going to say. Nope, I'm not trying to do that. But I've seen everything. I mean, we've seen people try to hide drugs orally and just save your comments now, Joel. I've even seen the other day I saw women get caught trying to smuggle drugs in wigs.
I didn't know where you were going there, but
in
okay.
wigs. No, in their wigs. They'd actually have like
I had on there the
hair
other
pieces.
Day. Did you see the guy that got caught because he had
That's where I'm going. That's why I wanted to ask you, would you smuggle drugs in your toupee?
Oh, I wouldn't go in toupee, bro. I had a story on our rundown 2 days ago.
Oh, the buttocks guy.
The dude got caught right in the old anal passage.
He had like 8 small bags of heroin, and then he had like a couple of bags of Molly.
That's constipation at its finest, folks.
And then he had like a bag of crack.
At least it wasn't a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he had so much. But actually, I would give this guy a lot more credit than the one I'm talking about, because the 65-year-old man attempted to smuggle a pound in a toupee. Now, you would think, okay, I can see why someone would attempt to do that. But look at this picture, man. Why did he think he was being inconspicuous with that toupee?
It's awful. You got to retweet that. That is just awful.
Like, he has no sense of being discreet.
It looks like someone put a wet sandbag like after a hurricane,
you know, that
on top
student,
of his head.
You know that student that was late in class and didn't want the teacher to see him, and just all they had was the book. So they just walked in like that thinking that, you know, it's like how dumb can you be? And $35,000 in terms of its worth. So
you got to retweet that picture because literally it looks like a wet sandbag, a brown wet sandbag on top of someone's head.
Yeah, 65 years old. I don't know why a 65-year-old man would be doing that, but that's unfortunate.
That's crazy.
But yeah, I mean, a toupee. He tried to do this in Spain, too. So I don't know how they feel about cocaine in Spain. I would imagine that's a serious crime there, too, right?
I'm imagining he wouldn't have tried to smuggle it had they been okay with it.
What do you mean?
Like you said, you don't know how they feel about cocaine in Spain. I don't think he would be trying this if they were just like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, I mean, just in terms of how in terms of punishment.
How severe the punishment.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's what I meant. So
That idea makes me think of when you were a kid and you were trying to hide from somebody or something, and all you did was cover your eyes and be like, well, if I can't see you, you can't see. That's, you know what? If I'm not looking at the cocaine, you don't know it's there. Ain't no worries.
Yeah, and how old is he? 65?
65 years old.
I mean, you've been through enough life experiences to realize what's going to work, what's not, and what has a chance. That had no chance.
Yeah, I don't know why he thought that would work. Maybe he was under the influence. You never know. I mean,
what
people,
TSA agent goes, that's a really nice hairstyle you have, sir.
Yeah, but
no.
The funny thing is when they first notice it, like, all right, who's going to go up to him and talk to him about this? Because clearly he's hiding something in his hair or his toupee, you know? Yeah, I would never want to work with TSA or do anything like that. That's just crazy to me.
Well, I mean, I don't think they obviously we've seen they don't really pay that well, and they've needed a lot more people.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's got to be a tough job anyway. I mean, unless you want to do the cavity search.
Yeah, I mean, at least, well, see, that guy, he didn't even go through the cavity. The guy in Florida that you mentioned, that had all the bags of like heroin and Molly.
Yeah,
he admitted. He didn't even go through a cavity search. He just admitted. Like they just smelt marijuana on him, and they was like, dude, we know you don't have anything in your bags or in your pockets, but we still smell it on you. And that's when he admitted, because he wasn't going to go anywhere. But I feel like that's more interesting. That's a more creative way to do it. But I did see a piece like,
I'm a little worried about the storage area, to be quite honest with you.
I would never.
The fact that he had all of that in there?
Yeah. I've seen this list right here.
Finish that sentence. You've seen what? You've seen worse?
No, I haven't seen anything like that. I've never seen anybody smuggle drugs, believe me.
Oh, but I'm saying, I thought you were saying that you've seen somebody that could put more in less, so to speak.
Nope. Nope. Okay. Nope. Right. I might have misspoke there. Sorry.
Whoops.
People have used their puppies.
Oh, is that what you call it?
Wigs? Foreskin? What do you mean?
Oh, come on.
No.
Please don't tell me it was a pound either, because that's a lie.
No
There's
way.
No way. Easy, John Holmes. That ain't happening. No way.
7.2 grams of cocaine in his foreskin. Yeah. 2011, Anton Banks was arrested and sentenced to prison for doing this.
Okay, Tony Banks. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah, that's crazy.
By the way, Aaron, and we've had both sides of the equation here now. Way back Wednesday, songs from 2000. If you missed it, I had hour number one. Aaron's got hour number two. Nick will take hour number three. Early on, someone said there was a winner based on Creed. Now on the text message, someone said Creed is an automatic disqualification. Shake my
head. Because I feel like Creed has the reputation of Nickelback does
yes.
now. You know what I mean? Like Nickelback was really big, and now people are just all down on Nickelback, and then Creed was huge, and now everybody hates Creed. I don't know why.
So we've essentially gone from Nickelback to Nickelback.
Okay, see.
I'm just saying.
Barry would kill you. See, I'm nice. See, I'm
but
actually
I'm a
nice.
I'm joke guy. I'm allowed. I thought the people at other stations were the Nickelback fans, but I guess, you know, they're all over the place. You never know.
Nick, how much money to wear the toupee through security at IAH? What are you talking about? These text messages.
They want to see you do what the 65-year-old dude did. Would you do it? Would you slap it on your dome piece?
I would not do that. I am proud of me having no hair. I'm okay with it.
Would you do D'Angelo Russell? Would you get the, what was it? It was the can of tea. The iced tea that had the screw off the screwable cap where you could hide the weed in the bottom of the can.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I've done that.
Arizona tea. There you go. Yep.
Yeah, they used to do it in WD-40. I mean, they sell these things at like smoke shops and
right. But would you try that? Would you go through with an Arizona iced tea like that with a can?
I would never do.
I'm only asking because of the fact that I'm curious, like from a security standpoint, unless there's dogs around, where does the detection come from the weed?
The smell, probably. Smell.
But you're not lighting up or anything. It's just you're trying to get it somewhere. Right?
If you're going somewhere where it's legal, I guess that I would imagine they're being a little bit more lenient about it. I don't know. I mean, or the x-rays picked it up or what. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't do anything. That's just crazy. The fact that anybody wants to do anything illegal at an airport is just beyond. That's just crazy to me.
Did I tell you that when we were traveling in college, my college roommate was quite the jokester, and we were going through security, and he said, oh, dang, I forgot my gun in my other bag and blah, 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 blah. They detained his ass so fast, and that was before everything with 9/11 and all that stuff made security at a heightened level. They held him, and we were going to miss our flight because of the fact that they were like, we don't play with that kind of stuff. You don't? You think you're funny? That's not funny.
No, it's not. It just isn't. Last text before we go to break is Booker T still on 97.5. He is indeed.
He'll be traveling, right?
Or probably is already there in Las Vegas, and he'll be doing shows alongside The Blitz, Jake Asman, and Alex Gold. Four different shows from our umbrella of.
I see one more tweet from Jake Asman excited for his first trip to Vegas. Good
Lord.
Are you
following him on Instagram?
No.
Yeah. Well, it's going to.
You know what you need to do, Nick?
What?
You need to get him to the Bunny Ranch.
I do not.
You don't have to take him, but make him go.
They wouldn't accept Jake Asman at the Bunny Ranch.
Oh, they'd accept his money, and they wouldn't have to do anything for it either.
No, I'm going to catch up with Jake when I land, actually. So, yeah, we're going to have some good times.
Oh, good.
So, yes, Booker T is still a part of the station.
You guys going to the M&M shop on the Strip? Or
no. No. We're going to have some beers, have some drinks, have some whiskey.
And then Jake is?
He'll drink.
Okay.
Like, he's not a big drinker, but he'll drink. Okay. I've had shots with him before.
You're going to have to take pictures of him that he's going to call selfies. All right. We'll be back with the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.